And good morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest on this crazy manic Monday. Boy, with a few days off, things have been a little crazy. And it's been a super busy weekend as we dive into what's going to unfold with the stimulus package today on the show. So we've got a lot of moving parts on this. President Trump signing the $600 crappy COVID version of stimulus with all of those pork provisions and really nothing for the American people. Pressured at the last minute to do that. But he is pushing for this additional $2,000 a month. So how did he do it? When negotiations with GOP leaders down in Mar-a-Lago, what did he come up with? We're actually going to have a little bit of a history lesson today using a unique provision that a president hasn't used since 1974. It's fascinating. And will this come together? The House of Representatives will vote today on a stimulus package of $2,000. And House members are basically saying on the Democratic side, no one's going to vote against this. Will Republicans support this? Mitch McConnell then intimating that this would go over to the Senate for a vote. Who would vote against it there? Who will stand for it? It'll be interesting to watch. So that's where the president right now is in his head, is $2,000 per person, up to $5,200 for a family of four. Unemployment benefits, though, have run out. And those extensions, even though the president signed this bill, there's a whole lot of problems with these unemployment extensions and when those things could actually be put in place. Not to mention the fact that the eviction moratorium ends at the end of January. And so there's a lot of, even though this is like a little mini stopgap measure, there's a lot of problems with it, which we will get into today. We'll also let you know when you can expect to receive a stimulus check in the mail. When will those digital checks actually go out to you? We've got all of that data and more on the show today. Yes, so I hope you had a wonderful Christmas, everyone. It's been a super busy Christmas, not relaxing for a lot of people. Grover is super excited to see all of you this morning back. He got a few Christmas presents, like this chewable teddy bear, which he's been destroying instead of the kids' toys. So Grover says, hello, welcome back. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas as well. David is in the control booth as our producer, running the show, calling the shots.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
You as well.
And a little shout out. Thank you so much. And a little shout out to my mom today, whose birthday is today, December 28th. Happy birthday, Mom, if you are watching right now. Much love to you. And, all right, we got to get to the news, but first I want to tell you about our show sponsor today, our friends over at HelloFresh. And if you want to get 10 free meals, so they reached out, they said, we want to give you this right now, 10 free meals that you can get, and we'll tell you how you get that in just a second. But HelloFresh gets you pre-measured ingredients, mouth-watering recipes delivered right to your front door. And the best part is you're going to save money. You would save about 40% off your grocery store bills by using HelloFresh. So if you want to get vegetarian meals, you want to get meat meals, you can pick and choose. Every week they send you different things. They get these fantastic different chef selections with different recipes. They take about 30 minutes to make, so a very short amount of time. You can make them with your kids. Our kids love getting the recipe cards. You can make nicely miso glazed salmon. Different chicken, different salads, again, vegetarian options. You can do smaller family, family of two, family of four, and they're oven ready in like 10 to 20 minutes. Perfect for your busy schedule. And it cuts out all of that stressful meal planning. So if you get home from work, you don't know what to cook. It's already prepackaged right in your fridge, all sustainably sourced. Fantastic. Really, really delicious food. And guess what? You are going to save a bunch of money right now, and you're going to get 10 free meals just by using this coupon code INVEST10. So you have to go to HelloFresh.com/INVEST10. Use the coupon code INVEST10 to get 10 free meals, and they'll actually ship it to your house totally for free as well. So check that out. And we thank them for supporting our show and giving away some great free meals here on the show. All right, we've got some news to get to today because, boy, was it a heck of a busy weekend. This weekend, I mean, unlike any other, really, that I can remember in modern political history, because if you look at what unfolded on a Christmas, during a Christmas holiday, normally it's incredibly quiet during Christmas. They get one of those government continuing resolution bills passed to keep the government funded and open, and everyone goes home and everything's all quiet, right? Quiet as a mouse, unlike Grover right now, who needs to be taken out on a walk. Unlike that, this was an absolute nightmare of a weekend for millions of Americans who are deciding and waiting whether or not they're going to get unemployment benefits, whether or not they're going to get stimulus checks, whether or not they're going to be able to stay in their homes because of these eviction moratoriums, all of that unfolding this weekend. And the president finally, at the last minute, signed this COVID relief bill, the crappy one that we've been telling you about over the past number of weeks, the one that provides $600 stimulus checks for the American people. Unemployment benefits extended for a few more weeks up until early March. But for the most part, this is not good for the American people. It's filled with all kinds of pork provisions in it. It limits your unemployment benefits down to $300. But the president last night came out and said, I'm signing this bill with some red lines and contingencies in all of this. So this is where everything was kind of thrown into chaos. I was watching this unfold late last night live on my show, and I was trying to understand what the president was doing. He had made an agreement, it appeared, according to the reports that I was getting, with Republican leaders in Mar-a-Lago. We know that Senator Lindsey Graham had flown down there. Other members of the leadership on the GOP side had flown down there to meet with the president. So they met with the president to make this deal. It was a deal that he would pass the stimulus package of $600, but that he would also then want to increase the amount of stimulus checks at $2,000 per person, extending that beyond just the $600, and getting rid of these pork provisions, taking all of these things out of the current bill. So it was like, well, wait a second, you're signing this bill, but then you're also asking them to pass an additional bill that redlines a whole bunch of things you didn't like in the previous bill. Okay, so let's get into this, because it's kind of a mess. But we need to do a little bit of a history lesson here. So what the president is actually doing is a rescission process. And John Dickerson from CBS's Face the Nation, a great reporter, John Dickerson, asked this question about this process. And he said it succinctly. I will send back to Congress a redlined version, item by item, accompanied by the formal rescission request. It's been a while since the Hill was my beat, but is this a thing? From a former president with less than a month on the clock. To which a number of people responded, a number of longtime political reporters said, no, it's not a thing. It's not a thing. To which John responded, which I think is interesting. He says, this is why I was asking. Because with this process, this ICA process, if Congress doesn't act in 45 days, the president's proposal expires and the executive branch must spend the money as prescribed. Okay, so here's your little history lesson here. Don't let your eyes glaze over. This is an important part of this entire process. So rescissions, that's what this is all about. He's signing the bill with red lines. Remember, like you were in elementary school and your teacher took out the red marker and wrote across all of this things that they didn't like about your essay? Or you got this wrong. I had a lot of those growing up. And so it would send it back to your desk. And that's why you got a C plus instead of an A, because there's all these red lines. Well, that's exactly what the president is doing. Among the items that he's asking to have removed is this Section 230, which is this big like power for tech companies, basically. There's another of other pork provisions in there. And he wants the spending bill increased so that Americans would receive more in stimulus checks. Now, we haven't seen his redlined version of this yet. Presumably only Republicans or only members of the Congress have seen this redlined version. But this rescission process hasn't been used since 1974. It's called the Impound Control Act, or the ICA. And it was used 2 decades ago, and it's a process. It's different than when Congress initiates its own rescissions, when they, you know, this chamber doesn't like that, so they put some red lines and they go back and they tweak it, right? This is different. Rescissions are available to the president to facilitate the cancellation of certain appropriations pieces in the spending. The executive branch, so the president's branch, right, the White House, is legally required to spend the money if he signs this. So he signed the bill. He has 45 days to spend this money now if they don't overturn these red lines. So it's really confusing, because how much of this will now be doled out based on him waiting on Congress to overturn these red lines? They have 45 days to do that, Congress does. And if they don't, it basically goes back to the executive branch and the Treasury Department. They have got to spend the money. So will they call his bluff on this? Will Republicans say, hey, you've only got like a few days left in office. Like, we're not doing this. Like, you're out of here, buddy. 45 days, like you're gone. So why would we pay attention to your red lines at this point? But then the American people kind of sit there and wait and wonder, like, when will this money actually be spent? When will these programs be allowed to roll out? Do we have to wait 45 days for this provision to expire? This rescission provision, the Impound Control Act of 1974. Richard Nixon used it to change policy. Those impoundments then were challenged in court and they were overturned. So now Congress created this rescission process in the Congressional Budget and Impoundment Control Act of 1974. It gives presidents a limited ability to impound funds temporarily while awaiting congressional action on formal rescission requests. Okay, so follow me here. What the president did was, I'm approving this bill with rescission requests. Now I'm sending it back to you, Republicans, with my red lines, remove this pork, remove these things, and also increase the amount we're going to spend on direct stimulus checks. Don't vote against that piece of it. So basically, the president submits a formal message, which he did last night, formally asking for a rescission. The special message must specify how much is to be rescinded, where they will be rescinded from, the projects and functions that will be affected. Okay, he specifically laid out areas where he doesn't want money going to foreign governments, etc., and why it should be rescinded, and then the estimated fiscal, economic, and budgetary impacts of the rescission, which is exactly what the president did. So the president dug this little thing out of the history books last night from 1974 to send these back to Congress. And so what is actually in this? Well, if we go through what's actually in this process, here is what the president called for last night in his rescission process. He called for, on Monday, the House will vote to increase payments to individuals from $600 to $2,000. Therefore, a family of four would receive $5,200. Additionally, Congress has promised that Section 230, which so unfairly benefits big tech at the expense of the American people, will be reviewed and either be terminated or substantially reformed. Likewise, the House and Senate have agreed to focus strongly on the substantial voter fraud which took place in November 3rd election. The Senate will start the process for a vote that increases checks to $2,000. It will repeal Section 230 and starts an investigation into voter fraud. Big tech must not get protections in Section 230. Voter fraud must be fixed. Much more money is coming. I will never give up my fight for the American people. So that is the president's rescission requests last night. Now, House Republicans are calling this a scam. Republicans are calling this a scam. GOP lawmakers are calling this election fraud allegation a scam. Specifically, Adam Kinzler of Illinois, he called on President Trump and his allies to drop their push to overturn the results of 2020 election. And he said it was a scam, the process. He spoke with Dana Bash. He says, they're getting retweets, they're getting followers, they're raising money off of this scam. He said, it is a scam. It's going to disappoint the people who think this election was stolen. It was not. But instead of being upset with the people who led them on this grifting scam, they're going to somehow try to convince these people that it was. And then he's going to say, all of these people who don't want this are rhinos in Congress. We have to follow the Constitution. I'm sorry if the outcome is not what you wanted, Mr. President. He also plans to overturn the president's veto, or the veto of the Defense Authorization Act, Adam Kinzler. He's not happy about this. He spoke with Dana Bash on this very question and this overall scam.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Congressman. Let's start with that bill that's sitting in Mar-a-Lago. The House will vote to of the defense bill, rather. The House will vote on that tomorrow. The House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has indicated that many House Republicans won't vote against the president, even though they supported the bill the first time. My question to you is, do you think the votes are there to override the president's veto on this multi-billion dollar, highly bipartisan defense bill?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. This is something we've done for 50 some straight years. It was vetoed for nonsensical reasons, this whole Section 230, which has nothing to do with national defense or the NDAA. Somebody just got in the president's ear and convinced him. And so we had way more than two-thirds votes to pass this. I don't understand. I could not justify if I voted for this bill and then voted to sustain the president's veto instead of override it. I do not know how you justify that besides saying, I'm just going to do what the president wants. This is a great bill. This goes after China, Russia. It does a lot to shore up our cyber, which, as we've seen, are extremely vulnerable. To sustain the president's veto after you voted for this bill, I just don't understand.
You don't understand, but are you confident that enough of your fellow Republicans will have the same mindset?
I hope so. I don't want to say I'm confident because it's just we're in such a time that I just have no idea right now. But, we passed with a significant amount of votes. There is some flex to lose some people that voted for it that don't vote to override the veto. Mm-hmm. That would be a tough one for me to explain. I just don't know how you do it. So
I don't know how you do it. They're planning to veto that. It would be the first veto override of a presidential veto in President Trump's term. So it's a big move from Congress to do that because they, of course, all want all of their military industrial complex money to be going out where it should be to all of those defense contractors. So I love how they couch it as like they're standing up for the American people and safety and patriotism and all of this. And it's just filled with absolute pork. Going out to all of these defense contractors for these programs while the American people are suffering and quibbling over $600. You know, like they can only give you $600 in stimulus checks, but they can also send out $740 billion for defense so that all of these and countries around the world in this omnibus spending bill can get millions of dollars, $500 million going to Israel, $10 million going to gender programs in Pakistan. So we need to understand gender programs in Pakistan for $10 million. I got an idea. What if you actually fix some roads with that amount of money? What if you provided money to schools with that amount of money? Unbelievable. So where are we with this stimulus package? Are we actually going to pass this thing? Will the $2,000 become a reality? I think it's interesting to hear Senator Pat Toomey, a Republican, who is really kind of unchained at this point because for re-election. So you can tell that he's basically probably telling the truth about where Republicans are on this whole thing and basically what he feels about President Trump at this hour. Whether or not they would actually sign this thing, whether or not they would sign the $2,000 provision, whether or not they will remove some of these pieces of pork that are in this thing and send it back to the president. This is what he did and spoke with on Fox News Sunday. This is a Republican, Pat Toomey, on this issue.
Senator, you disagree with some of the provisions in this massive funding package. Why should the president sign it?
Well, because you don't get everything you want, even if you're the president of the United States. We have two legislative bodies, and Democrats control one, Republicans the other. Look, if it were just the freestanding government funding bill, I would almost certainly be voting against that. But I think the COVID relief measures are really, really important. And, you know, in my state, as in many other states, we have governors who are closing down businesses again. People are out of work, certainly through no fault of their own. I think we need the extended unemployment benefits. I think we need another round of the PPP loans, which are really grants to small businesses to keep their workforce, part of their business. And time's running out. So I understand the president would like to send bigger checks to everybody. I think what he ought to do is sign this bill and then make the case. Congress can pass another bill. I don't agree with $2,000 checks to people who've had no lost income whatsoever, which is the vast majority of Americans. But the president's free to make that case. Democrats will agree with that and see where it ends up. But we've got a bill right now that his administration helped negotiate. I think we ought to get that done.
Your colleague, Senator Lindsey Graham, after spending some time with President Real Donald Trump, today I am more determined than ever to increase stimulus payments to $2,000 per person and challenge Section 230 big tech liability protection. Both are reasonable demands. Do you worry we're heading for a government shutdown, sir?
I really don't know. I think the president has not actually explicitly said he's going to veto this bill. I take that as a hopeful sign. Mm-hmm. I think as he leaves office, he will. I understand he wants to be remembered for advocating for big checks, but the danger is he'll be remembered for chaos and misery and erratic behavior if he allows this to expire. So I think the best thing to do, as I say, is sign this and then make the case for subsequent legislation.
Ouch. So instead of being remembered for signing stimulus checks and getting help to the American people, he's going to be more known for chaos and indecision. That's Senator Pat Toomey, the Republican who's not running for re-election in the state of Pennsylvania. So he's asking the president, you know, make your case. Sign the stimulus bill, which he did, and then make your case to the American people today. And that's what he's going to be doing. So the president taking to Twitter after he signed this bill, of course, and saying that he wants to continue to push for stimulus. $2,000 plus $2,000 plus other family members, not $600, he tweets. Remember, it was China's fault. He also went on to tweet this just a short time ago. Increase payments to the people. Get rid of the pork. That's what he's calling on Congress to do. So this is firmly in Congress's hands. And the question is whether or not Mitch McConnell in the Senate will allow this to come to a vote. And I believe that that's part of the negotiation that he had last night, which is that I will sign this bill if you agree to bring it to a vote in the Senate. And then he can go and use the bully pulpit. He's heading down to Georgia today. He'll be campaigning in Georgia for Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, the senators there that are embattled and hoping to win on January 5th. And so he, in that runoff race, he will be at the podium using a microphone. He will be bashing Republicans, calling on them to pass larger stimulus packages, larger stimulus money. And that will put all of these members of Congress on notice. They will be in their chambers hearing from their constituents to pass these larger checks, either in a standalone bill or as part of these redline items in the current bill, and to send it back to the president with these amendments and actually get it passed. Again, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue need that in order for them to win down there. They need stimulus checks to be going out. But there's a huge problem with this delay. So let's get into this delay and when you can actually see stimulus checks. So right now, according to the latest reports on these, who's eligible, number one, is that the pandemic recovery bill includes direct payments of $600 to eligible adults plus $600 per child dependent. Child dependents, not adult dependents. Very, very important. While the adult benefit is half the size of the first stimulus check, the amount earmarked for qualifying dependents was raised by $100. So a family of four could receive $2,400. Now, those qualifying with a maximum stimulus payment include individuals earning up to $75,000 in adjusted gross income or $112,000 for a head of household and $150,000 as a married couple filing jointly. So those are the caps. Payments are reduced at the same rate as the CARES Act. So for every $100 earned over those income thresholds, payments then are docked $5. However, the adjusted gross income caps are lower this time. Now, individuals with $87,000 in income, this is important, and married couples who file jointly earning $174,000 will not receive any payment. Therefore, fewer people will qualify for payments than for those who did receive a check. You know, I just want to take umbrage with what Senator Pat Toomey there had to say about these stimulus checks. They're not targeted to people. You know, that people that would be receiving $2,000 checks, it is targeted. I mean, if you're making under $75,000 and you've had hours cut and you have not technically lost your employment status, but you have lost everything else, this is an important piece of legislation to be able to pay to make sure that you're receiving these $2,000 checks. Like, that is targeted. Yes, okay, making over, $300,000 or this additional amount of money or $200,000 or whatever, on and on and on, should not be receiving stimulus checks. But we should do exactly what Canada has done. We should do exactly what these other countries have done and subsidizing these wages. And people also forget that, yes, Pat Toomey, you're talking about, people They haven't, you know, lost their job. They probably had hours cut. They still have to pay for their medicines. They probably have now had one of the parents had to stay home permanently to take care of their kids who are in virtual schooling. They have not been able to provide childcare for their family. So they're spending money right now that they don't have, or they're taking money out of savings. So I love when these Republicans get on their high horse and they're saying this is not targeted. You don't understand what targeted is then. Just because it's not specifically means tested based on how much pain you're currently in, it is targeted in that these people have had hours reduced and it doesn't show up on paper, and the pain doesn't necessarily show up on paper for you, you fancy pants Republicans. And by the way, you fancy pants Democrats, Senator Warner, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. You can ride in on your high Democratic horse and don't think that stimulus checks actually help people because you're bought and sold by big donors who are telling you to pass these other things to make sure that big businesses are taken care of. By the way, do you know that the state with the most, the word stimulus is trending more in one state than any other state right now because people are in pain? Can you guys in the chat tell me which state you think is searching for stimulus and stimulus-related checks because they're suffering more than any other state? Let me know in the chat. David, interrupt me when we get some good answers here on that.
Okay.
Because, you know, and it points to these senators who are completely out of touch also.
People are saying California. You know,
it is targeted.
California, New York.
Nope.
Michigan.
Nope.
California.
Nope.
West Virginia.
West Virginia is the answer.
That was going to be my guess, too.
Home of...
Because there's stats showing that like 90% of people couldn't pay their mortgage and their rent.
It's astounding. You know, West Virginians are suffering. I used to live in West Virginia, beautiful state, great people. And, of course, they have a few of the poorest counties in America, in the southern part of the state and scattered throughout. I mean, it's really brutal. And industry has left. There are no jobs. And so people in West Virginia are searching for stimulus. And Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, wasn't interested in stimulus checks. He was interested in these like paltry $600 stimulus checks. And actually, he wasn't even really concerned about stimulus checks. Like Senator Mark Warner, who also wasn't interested in stimulus checks, a Democrat. Because we shouldn't be sending out checks to people when it's not targeted. It is targeted, just not maybe by your metric. It's targeted. These people are suffering. They've blown through their savings. And I think the biggest issue at all for all of this, you know, targeting BS is the fact that these people don't have health care. So you're saying, okay, they've still been working, or they're at their gig workers or whatever. They still have some income. They don't have health care coverage. They're paying $4,000 a month for medicine, $600 for an inhaler. I'm watching your comments on this. I've seen people tell me like, oh, my husband's insulin medication, my inhaler costs $600. I don't have coverage for it. I can't afford this. I'm literally running out of money. It is targeted. But it's okay to just blindly send billions of dollars to all of these defense contractors. How targeted is that? Here you go, Boeing. Here's a big pile of cash for you again, Boeing. Here you go, Northrop Grumman. Or these defense contractors that are also getting money paid time off in the bill. So paid time off for these defense contractors, but not for you. Talk about the hypocrisy from these senators. I love it. It's unbelievable. So my heart goes out to you in West Virginia. Hey, Kentucky was right there, by the way. Mississippi was right there. All of these Republican states, by the way, hemorrhaging right now in pain. That's who's eligible for this. Now, when will you get it? That's the big question. When will you receive this new $600 stimulus? First in line will likely be those who have already had their direct payment information on file with the IRS. So how many of you watching right now, let me know in the chat, already have your direct deposit information on file with the IRS? Before Trump balked at signing the legislation, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, of course, earlier this week, in a in a tweet or an interview that has now not aged well, Mnuchin said, we can get your checks out as early as next week. That's not going to happen, because now there's a rush to try to get this done. And now it probably won't be until after the new year when this first round of checks will. So the money that's digitally set up inside the IRS's websites and bank accounts will then be able to go out first. It's a very, very fast way of getting money out to people, Mnuchin told Jim Cramer last week. That includes people who signed up to receive a refund by direct deposit when filing their 2018 and 2019 taxes. So how many of you watching right now filed your taxes electronically and filed to receive that direct deposit as a refund electronically? If you did, then you are set up. You will receive that money into those bank accounts, into those checking accounts. And it may extend to the 14 million people who previously registered their details via those two new online portals on IRS.gov back in the spring. Go to IRS's website today. If you go to IRS.gov, you'll notice that the website should still allow you to set up right on the front page for the economic impact payment. Right at the top, you'll see Get My Economic Impact Payment. And then you can go through and make sure that your information is inside the system. You can do the recovery rebate credit. You can make sure that your electronic information is all plugged in. They have a big tool right on the front page, right there to get that information plugged in on the website. So make sure your electronic information is on file, and those people will get it first and fastest. And then they were going to deliver about $5 to $7 million paper checks a week, in addition to checks for other federal programs. So they're going to start with people who are making less than $20,000 per year. Those checks, those paper checks, will go out first to those people. And then it'll continue every week after that. TurboTax or Green Lewis or H&R Block, any of those tax software programs that you may have worked with before, you need to check with your person that you worked with and find out, how did you receive the payment last time in the spring? You know, did you receive it through your H&R card that they gave you? Did you get it via a paper check in the mail? What about those, you know, that did Green Lewis or other rebate centers? Check with how you got it last time to find out how it might unfold this time. But again, unemployment and all of this, folks, I mean, let's talk about unemployment now. That's a huge issue in all of this. Those unemployment checks that were set to roll out because of the deadline was supposed to be happening just this weekend. Those unemployment checks were set to run out on Saturday night, and they have. That means now that because of this delay by President Trump, this next week, you will not have stimulus. You will not have unemployment checks for the following week. So those for the next week, there will be a delay of a week. Okay, so nothing is happening this week. And then after the beginning of the year, there's a major problem with these unemployment offices and these computer systems. According to reports, we now have to get those computer systems updated. That's right, folks. The computers need to be updated. The computers and software need to be updated. So it could be weeks until unemployment checks are sent out for the pandemic unemployment assistance of $300. It could be weeks because of President Trump's delay on signing this thing. And I don't just want to put the blame on President Trump. Let's blame on Congress, too. I mean, they knew this deadline was approaching, so they got it to his desk, you know, right before Christmas. We were still facing these software delays, but it would have been lessened had they got this thing signed immediately. And make no mistake about it, I still think this bill is crap, okay? But millions of Americans are now out of unemployment benefits as of Saturday night. And now, because of these delays and the computer systems not being updated for weeks, you're going to be delayed on your unemployment assistance for that amount of time until they get this figured out. Unbelievable. I mean, this is just the absolute incompetence of our government that cannot get this passed. Anthony Scaramucci, who used to work for President Trump on his communications team, an advisor to President Trump, was asked about this crappy stimulus package of $600 and thinks this does not go anywhere nearly as far as it should. Take a listen to the Mooch.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. But when I came on in March and you and I were talking about the stimulus and Adam and I were talking and I wrote a piece, we needed a $3.2 trillion stimulus. And if you look at the piecemeal packages, it still does not add up to that. And so, unfortunately, it just isn't enough. And, you know, we can talk about the $600 going directly to each taxpayer. Obviously, that should be way more, and less of that pork should be in the bill. But Julia, you know, the problem right now is we're at war. Just imagine if 300,000 people died in a homeland invasion. So a sovereign army invaded the homeland of the United States, murdered 300,000 plus of our fellow citizens, wounded 1,000 to 2,000 a day, and 150,000 were injured by this army. Imagine the response from the government, the state, and local government. And so for me, we're just not doing enough. I understand the issues related to deficit spending, but we can solve those issues later on like we did after World War II. And so it's not...
So it's not enough, he says. I think that's a good way to look at it. I mean, you know, we want to talk about this thing in terms of like hospital beds and so forth, but think about the amount of death as a result of this thing. And the you know, all of these different governors telling us that we have to shut back down again. Businesses can't open. These restaurants can't function. You know, Governor Cuomo, de Blasio shutting an entire city of New York down, basically. So these businesses that have been in families for many, many generations are just closed permanently. That's it. Their livelihood's gone. And the government hasn't done anything to support that. So on the one hand, they're asking you to shut everything down. I mean, yet we have schools open, and schools have proven by proper social distancing and taking precautions to not spread COVID. Isn't that remarkable? Like, look at schools. It has not been the case. And in situations where it has popped up, schools have been able to take care of it, especially in Europe with bubbles, making sure that those particular bubbles that are closed together that had COVID are sent home for a few days until they're like, it's all good. But the rest of the school continues. It's allowed businesses to open. It's allowed parents to get back to work. In the United States, we have this hodgepodge approach to it, and we're asking all these businesses to close. It's been highway robbery.
Well, then that's the thing.
So, these stimulus checks...
If they would have had plans in place like Japan and stuff like that, like you can lock down an economy as long as you stimulate it while it's closed down. People would have been fine. But they closed it down and didn't stimulate the economy. So what are people to do? Like, they have nothing coming in. Like, a place like Japan is paying 100% of people's lost wages while they're locked down. That's the only way you can do it.
Right. Yeah, Australia did the same thing. Like, hey, stay home. We're going to close your restaurant, but, you know, we're going to support your restaurant while it's closed during the pandemic. And also, you're asking all of these businesses, like, to do these half measures. Like, hey, you can have outside dining in the winter. Okay, so who's going to foot the bill for all these heat lamps? You know? Okay, so we can't be indoors, so we'll be outside. We'll set up a whole bunch of heat lamps and plastic bubbles, which to me is worse. Well, it's like you're making a Petri dish. Okay, well... big plastic bubble boy to eat dinner outside with a fish. You know, it's ridiculous.
And none of it's backed by any science. There's absolutely no science backing up any of these decisions.
Right. And it's like fear tactics. You know, I a few weeks ago here on the show, we did that story about the Blackstone Group. And I was furious about this, but this is exactly what's happening. Of course, the president of the Blackstone Group basically saying, hey, he told a private group of Wall Street executives and investors, and it was leaked out, of course. It wasn't public, but he told another group of investors, hey, here's what happened in 2008, right? We as a real estate company, we just loved it because we were able to swoop in and buy all of these properties that were distressed because all these people lost their mortgages, they couldn't pay their bills, so we swooped in and bought them up. You know, we did so good. And he told investors, you know, we've been able to increase rents during this pandemic, and guess what? We're about to do it all again. As all these businesses, and I'm talking specifically about commercial property, which has been hammered. Strip mall after strip mall, I'm sure, in your town are going vacant. And these Blackstone Group, these other big real estate investing companies are ready to sit there and swoop in and buy them all up. And he told a group of investors, we did it right here on the show back, I think in November, early November. And he said, you know, we're in good position. We're having a record year because we're going to take advantage of all of you guys. You guys go out of business. These governors are shutting stuff down. We're going to swoop right in and buy up all these companies. We're going to swoop in and buy up your single family homes because you can't pay your mortgages anymore. Thank you, government. We're swooping in and taking up your strip mall. We're going to turn it into warehouse space. And people are going to pay us for Amazon distribution centers. We're going to make bank.
Well, and when
that's
people
exactly
are talking, when people are talking about, you know, the biggest wealth transfer in history, that's part of it. Part of the wealth transfer is them buying these properties for pennies on the dollar and then charging premiums once everything's back for people to rent them or whatever.
You're right about that. That's what I talked about back in October when I talked about the housing crisis that's unfolding in front of us. That this wealth transfer is going to look entirely different than it ever has. And what's happening now is that those people, those first-time home buyers that cannot buy a home because the house is overinflated, they don't make enough, right, to pay for a mortgage because maybe their credit's been hurt, but also the numbers are out of whack. Their debt-to-income ratio is too high. They're saddled with student loan debt, et cetera. And then the people that do have a mortgage that now, through no fault of their own, have lost their job because of the pandemic are now being forced to rent, lose their home through foreclosure process, or just have to turn it back over to a bank. And maybe they're able to do some sort of a short sale or something. They have to walk away from it. All of this property is now going to flow right back to the 1%. That's the new housing crisis that's unfolding. There will be more renters than ever before. There will be fewer first-time home buyers than ever before. Because that's what's about to happen, even with historically low mortgage rates. These banks having these numbers at historically low levels doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if now the house is overvalued. It's gone up in price, but you don't make enough because you've had your hours cut at work. So who can buy it? Rich people. It's going to be the wealthy Americans that buy it. So all of this idea of the American dream and owning a house for first-time homebuyers is going down the toilet.
Well, and think about what's getting ready to hit when you've got like 20 million people facing homelessness right now with the rent moratorium and all that like going away, that aren't going to be able to afford deposits on new places. They're not going to be able to afford rent on new places. So you're going to have all these empty places that the rich are buying up and flipping, and nobody is going to be able to afford to rent. I mean, 20 million people aren't going to be able to afford to rent them.
No, and that's the housing crisis we have. We have we need over 20 million houses in this country. We have an affordable housing crisis. And rents in a lot of these areas are continuing to rise. And Blackstone Group is sitting there saying, we've been able to raise rents even in a pandemic. They've been able to raise rents. I saw somebody in my chat just before the show started today. If you're here watching right now, let me know. But you said your rent was at $800 and your landlord just increased your rent. So starting on January 1st, your rent goes up to $900 a month. During a pandemic. Let me know if you're watching right now. How many people's rents will go up on January 1st? Oh, and by the way, an eviction moratorium ends on January 31st. That was the piddly extension that Congress gave you.
They gave them
so
a month?
So do you need $2,000? They gave them a month.
Jeez.
Hey, it would have... I mean, that's how kind they are, David. I mean, it would have ended on December 31st, my birthday, New Year's Eve.
Like, how do you sit there and, like if you and I were having a conversation, how do you negotiate that? Well, you know what? They're all going to lose their places. You know, let's give them 30 more days. What the hell? Like, if it's an arbitrary thing that they're just throwing out there, it just shows the lack of concern for the American people, because why wouldn't they say, well, let's extend it for 6 months. This could probably go out 6 months. You know what I mean? Why is it 30 days? Because they try to do as little as possible for the American people.
Yeah, it's awful. And I'm looking here in the chat, so many of you telling me right now that your rent is going up. Rent is going up. It went up in October. It's going up. Your rent was $800, real Virgo Queen, and now it's $1,300? Holy smokes. Your increased rent went up $300. Mine is going up, Tanisha says. Mark Phillips, mine went up on December 1st. Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Mark Phillips. Here's more rent that you'll have to pay. Unbelievable. Our rent went up $150 on January 1st. Or it will go up. Dolores Smith says, my landlord kept the rent the same. What's his name? That's a good man. Rent is insane. Unbelievable.
So let's increase your rent.
Nobody
has a job. Nobody's getting assistance from the government in any form of stimulus, but let's raise the rent.
And then you're probably sitting back saying, I cannot wait till Biden gets in, right? He's such a progressive socialist that I can't wait till Joe Biden gets into the office, because we're going to be taken care of. What I fear most, folks, is that, of course, you've been lied to about this entire process. If you've been watching my show for any length of time, you know that Joe Biden is not a socialist. He's in many ways not even a progressive. He is a middle of the road, in fact, some ways Republican, centrist, right down the middle.
He's been voting fighting for a crime bill,
voting to expand wars.
Yeah, he's been fighting to cut Social Security since the 70s.
Right. He's hated Social Security. He's voted multiple times. He's had to apologize for it. Increase the retirement age. He's voted for multiple wars, expansion of the military-industrial complex. So he paid lip service to the fact that he was going to pay attention to progressives, right? There are some signs that he's got some progressives in his cabinet. Okay, there are some positive signs, but there's a bunch of huge red flags. President-elect Biden saying vote for this $600 stimulus package. He encouraged his Democrats basically to roll over on this thing and accept less to get this thing through. Democrats got the cover they needed to pass this crappy stimulus bill. So if you're just joining me, the president signing...
I was going to say, which is why all but two of them voted on it.
Right. Yeah. Tulsi Gabbard and Rashid Tlaib, progressives on the Democratic side, voted against it. Good for them. But President Trump, if you're just joining us, did sign last night the $600 stimulus check package and is pushing for redlining and additional stimulus package numbers that are going to go beyond the $600 up to $2,000 per month. That is the goal. But you will receive that hopefully in the next few weeks, depending on when they get their act together and get this thing passed. But the whole thing was, oh, when Joe Biden gets in, we're going to see a massive stimulus package. And I hope that that's the case. I really do. I hope that it makes sense and it makes sense for the American people. And he's able to wipe away student loan debt and all of that. But I'm not convinced of that, especially when the people advising him are people like former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. And progressives have been saying, why are you getting advice from this guy? This Democrat, this Larry Summers, who's advising, who's had poor, he's really been a terrible Treasury Secretary. He's had given you poor advice. You're listening to him? So here's Larry Summers saying, I don't think these $2,000 stimulus checks are good for the American people. We shouldn't do that. Here's how out of touch this guy is, Larry Summers, and he's advising Biden?
What do you think about where we are in stimulus?
Look, we're better off with stimulus than we are without stimulus. I don't think the $2,000 checks make much sense. The real issue.
Oh, for you, maybe in your, you know, fancy pants house, Larry Summers. I don't think the $2,000 stimulus checks make sense. Hey, all of you watching right now, do you think $2,000 stimulus checks make sense?
Who's going to be sustaining this expansion? You think about it, the 908 stimulus bill probably would pay out $200 to $250 billion a month for the next 3 months. The level of compensation is running about $30 billion a month below what we would have expected it would. GDP is running about $70 billion a month below what we would have expected it would. So in a way that's quite unprecedented, we have stimulus already much more than filling out the hole. And given that lots of the hole is from the fact not that people don't want to spend, but that they can't spend because they can't take a flight or they can't go to a restaurant, I don't necessarily think that the priority should be on promoting consumer spending beyond where we are now.
Okay.
As he's sitting there drinking his margarita that's 100% covered now.
Yeah. Sorry, I just had a... let me finish my martini before I answer your question. I don't think that this consumer spending is really going to help us at all.
You know what's crazy, too, is like people are putting so much faith in Biden, but Biden has a record since the 70s, and he's been pretty consistent with not doing what's good for the American people. Like he has, I mean, he's a guy that just gives lip service and says he's going to do these things, but he has a record that you can actually track, and it's not been good. You know, I was like,
that's
saying,
why people
go ahead.
I was going to say, that's why people, you know, that's why President Trump was saying, hey, for 45 years, you've had a track record. You can look to your record. Like, you know, are you suddenly going to, can you teach an old dog new tricks suddenly? You know, you can't. When you're, what, 78 years old, are you suddenly going to, like, start learning a new way, a new pattern of running? You know, you've won re-election after re-election. You're going to suddenly change the way that you've done politics?
Well, and that's the thing. They pay lip service because advice? If you look at Bush, look at Obama, like they got in because they were anti-war and not going to be the policemen of the world and won the Nobel Peace Prize and all this other stuff. But then they get in office and they don't do what they said. And why can we expect anything different from Biden when he's been saying he's going to do things since the 70s and hasn't done them?
Well, people say, well, Clayton, you know, you're sounding contradictory. Well, no. I what I'm saying is I think the $600 stimulus package that Biden was even advocating for is a bloated bill that funnels money to corporate America and to defense contractors and is not enough for the American people. And Biden called for his Democratic colleagues basically to support this crappier, watered down version of this bill, because that when he gets into office in a few weeks, he will put forth a massive stimulus package. I've already seen signs that he is going to walk away from this student loan provision that he was talking about. Remember a few weeks ago, Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren came out and called on the president-elect to wipe away student loan debt for all Americans, which would be transformative. Now, president-elect in an interview just the other day said, I don't know that that's possible. I'm not sure about that. He's waffling on it right before Christmas. It didn't get much coverage. I didn't get a chance to cover it here on the show, but I am now. So well, to David's point, he's got a long track record of not doing that type of stuff.
Exactly. And he was quoted saying, look at the $600 as a down payment, which saying things like that gets the base on board because they're like, okay, so we'll get the $600 and then there's more coming. But it's like, that's what they do. This is a down payment. Then when it gets back actually into it and then it's time for them to make a real decision. Well, I know I said that, but you know, we just can't. We've spent so much money on military. The money's gone. Sorry, folks. The park's closed. Moose out front should have told you.
Right. I'm breaking into Wally World. Idella says in the chat, hey, Clayton, how about speaking on something positive? Okay. Look, you know, I'm a glass half full kind of person. You know me as a positive person. I'm always trying to be a positive person. You know, when kids make a mistake on something, or I make a mistake, I'm always trying to find a way, you know, how can I learn from this mistake? Not dwell on it, not be negative. And the same thing is true here. Like, what can I walk away with in this process right now where I'm watching Democrats and Republicans, which I've said is one party to begin with, they're corrupt. They are bought and sold by big business and defense contractors, okay, four. And they are one big party that's sustained by corporate lobbyists and money pouring into it. So what is the positive sign on all of this? You have people that are willing to stand up and say enough is enough. People in this process, we've actually shined a light on these people, and we're able to see the cockroaches as they scurry under the light. And I think the positive thing is vote these people out. Now we have a clear path. We can say, you know what, when these people want to run for re-election, we remember your names. And oh, by the way, the people that voted against this stuff, because they know the truth, you know, the Tulsi Gabbards, the Rashid Tlaibs, the people who stood up for this, the Andrew Yangs, who are calling for universal basic income, that's how we can affect real change. So that's the positivity that I'm talking about. That's, to me, that is positive. How do you turn this crappy Congress with a 13% approval rating? How do you turn lemons into lemonade?
Well, and that's the whole goal of this channel.
And that's what we have to do.
The goal of this channel is to hold these people accountable. And the thing is, if you guys watch the show and you see us holding those people accountable, the positive is you're informed. You now have information that you're not going to get anywhere else to make an informed decision when you go to the voting booth and push that Chad in or whatever. You know, you have right. The information you need to go in and make a positive out of a negative by getting these people that take corporate money and they will fall on a sword to fund these corporates and vote the right way. And that's what this channel wants to do is hold them accountable so that you are informed.
You're not going to hear anybody else telling you that, hey, Larry, you're not going to see another channel telling you that Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, who's advising Biden, is on, you know, CNBC doing an interview. And, oh, maybe I should listen to this guy. The reason that CNBC is pulling this guy out of the grave to put him on television is because they agree with him. They don't want the government spending $2,000 to help you. CNBC wants Wall Street taken care of. So that's the reason they pulled this guy out of the grave to put him on television, to get his horrible opinion about how $2,000 won't help anybody because no one can fly anywhere. By the way, have you heard of Amazon? Did you see that online sales were up like, what, 4% this holiday because people are home and they actually went online to make their consumer purchases, which drives the economy, which creates jobs and helps businesses? So he sits there on his high horse and CNBC puts him on the air?
So I'm not even sure that I'm so enthusiastic about the $600 checks. And I think taking them to $2,000 would actually be a pretty serious mistake that would risk a temporary overheat.
Yeah, we don't want our government to overheat right now.
Yeah,
it's a huge mistake, right?
It's like people are going to be out buying PlayStations and all that stuff. No, if you are such advocates for providing basic human rights, people are buying food and they're putting a roof over their head. That's all they want. They're not begging for other things. They want a roof over their head and they want food in their belly. That's it. And they can't do that with zero money.
And if they have a little bit. Yeah, exactly. And if they have a little bit left over and they go to their little downtown store where, you know, the woman has had this store for 20 years and she makes doilies for sale, you know, and you want to get your mom something nice for Christmas to put in her stocking, and you pay that little store owner in your local backyard or that local bookshop because you're supporting local, because you have a few extra dollars because the government was able to provide that to help keep that business open, and it keeps the entire, you know, wheel of the system working. That's important. You know, again, consumer spending in this country is 70% of our GDP, of our gross domestic product. When consumer spending goes down, our government grinds to a halt. That means jobs, lack of jobs. That means businesses shutter. So Larry Summers can sit there on his little CNBC high horse and say, I don't even think $600 is good. I line my bird cage with $600.
Well, how backwards thinking is it for them to think when people have money and they pay their rent, the bank's getting money, they're getting the mortgage money. Mm-hmm. So you're still transferring that money. It's just you're transferring it through the people. But it's like they think they got to cut out the people and go direct, when it's like it could be a win-win situation. But they don't look at it that way. It's such backwards thinking.
Oh, I don't even think $600 is enough. I think that's not even good. I wouldn't give them $600, you know? They don't need that kind of money. These people are fine. Oh, boy.
Well, let me know your thoughts on today's show. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. By the way, I want to test this out. I want to play a little ad here. Just hang out for a second. Supports the channel, even if it plays for 30 seconds. I want to test this out and see what you guys... Let me know if you guys see this at home. There's a new feature on YouTube, and I want to see if this works. By the way, subscribe to the channel, and please support us. I really appreciate it. But here, we're going to hit this little ad and see if this actually works.
And just to be clear, you won't see
at home.
You have YouTube Red, you will not see anything. You will only see it if you do not have YouTube Red. And Facebook, Periscope, or Twitter and Twitch, you guys won't see it anything. So
good to know. So just wanted to test this out. It's a little 30-second feature. It helps the channel, but it's something I want to test and see what it looks like. But thanks to all of you for joining us on this Monday. As we keep our government honest and keep mainstream media honest, we'll be watching what unfolds today in the House of Representatives with this vote. We will be covering that for you today here on the show. So be sure to subscribe to the channel. If you're new here, hit that little Santa hat right down here in the corner. Subscribe and turn on that little bell notification as we go live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, covering the progressive issues that are important for you and your family that you won't see covered anywhere else in the mainstream media. We really appreciate you joining us here on the show. So much love to all of you. Thank you for the dog barking today, the craziness on a Monday. Much love to all of you. We will see you back here bright and early tomorrow morning, or actually tonight when we'll be covering the House vote. So be sure to subscribe. Bye, everyone.